Okay. 5, 4, 3. Hello, Please to Be Nation, and welcome to episode number 2 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. This is the show that will be looking at some of the worst shows in wrestling history, see if there's anything to good to say about them in the modern era. My name is Ben Locke, and I am joined on this journey by my two excellent co-hosts, Sean Kidd and Logan Crossland. How are we doing tonight, gents?
I am doing great, Ben. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. It's like 20 degrees. It's midnight, so it's quite warm and stuffy here, but I'll manage.
Yeah, it's about 90 and stuffy hot here, too, but at least we can cool down by watching this fantastic show tonight. So.
good.
Yeah, thanks for that volley and setup, Ben. That was a good volley.
So. Yeah, it's a good muggy 72 here, so not too bad.
It has been nearly 2 months since the first episode, so and we've had quite a big, good bit of feedback, actually. I was quite impressed. I thought people would hate us, but they seem to enjoy the concept. I don't know if anybody got back to you two about it.
I heard from a couple people that they enjoyed it, and you know, I think a few people said that, you know, listening to the show, you know, 91, you know, realized that there was some good stuff in it. So for the 91 bash. But for most of the feedback I got was pretty darn positive in terms of the concept and the actual episode. So good job, guys.
Yeah, we've got to pat ourselves on the back occasionally.
A little bit. You got to pat yourself on the back a little bit, especially if it goes over well. So we made it to number 2, so something must be right.
Yeah, and even today, I feel like we got a lot of suggestions on what maybe we'll do on our next episode. So I feel like it was all positive from my end as well.
So just to let everybody know, the first episode, we kind of came to a group decision about what we were going to watch. From here on out, we're going to be picking it individually, and we're doing it alphabetically to begin with. So as I am first alphabetically, I've got first dibs, and I'm pretty confident that this might well be the worst show in WWE/F history. For those of you who don't know, who haven't read the little bit that Jenny will have wrote for us, we are going to be reviewing King of the Ring in 1995. And I don't know if you're aware, gentlemen, but we're doing it on the eve of its 25th anniversary.
I actually just read that literally 5 minutes before we started recording, so that's good timing.
Yeah, good. Well done.
Well, you know, I thought we got to, you know, pick something reasonably, well, not current, but reasonably to do with the date, and also to prove to the WWE that everything 25 years ago was not good, despite what you might be telling you. So like I say, we are going to be looking at King of the Ring 1995. Logan, were you actually born at this stage?
Yes, I was on the eve of my second birthday at this point. I think I was about 1 year, 10 months, I think. So, yeah, I was at least born for this one. Probably was still spitting up on my mom's shirt, but I was on the earth.
So the good news, unlike the last show, you're no longer a sperm. Now you're actually born. So that's a good change. That's good.
Yes, I'm an actual living person at this point.
Fantastic.
I probably wanted to crawl away and die after I saw Mabel, though. So.
So I'm pretty confident in saying that you will not have watched this show live.
That is a fair point, my friend.
tell you what, Columbo's got nothing on me.
Yeah, that's a brilliant deduction you just made there, Ben.
Sean, did you watch this live?
Well, yeah. Well, so obviously I was born. I hate it when you do this. I'm 4 years out of high school at this point. I did watch it live. So just some context. So I broke up with my first serious girlfriend from high school about a year earlier. So I was like in transitional phases. I was still working, smoking a pack a day, probably drinking Milwaukee's Best every night because I wasn't making a whole lot of money. And I was actually living in a house with a garage band. So I was still watching wrestling, but yeah, I mean, even personally and watching wrestling, June 95 was a very depressing time for many reasons. So, not a lot of fond memories of this show, and I don't know if this rewatch is really going to help any of those memories for me at all.
I'm sorry to be digging your past up then. I feel sort of bad.
Feel like I'm obligated just because I'm the older statesman. So I feel like when we do these shows, I'm the one that's got to speak up and say, well, you know, life was great or life was shit, and then kind of talk about where I was at the time. So it's okay. It comes with the job.
I was 13 in the middle of high school during this. We did start to get pay-per-views live at this stage, but I wasn't staying up to watch this. My mum and dad were not that much sadists on me, so I did watch it. Our pay-per-view replays were on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. So yeah, I saw this on the week. So I didn't see it at the time, and I think until the network came around, that was probably the last time I saw it till about 2018, maybe.
Yeah, I don't really know if it mattered if you watch it live or rewatched it a few days later. It's still going to be the same show at this point. So,
speaking of the show, gentlemen, shall we get ready? Shall we get down to it?
Yep.
I guess now is as good a time as ever.
Okay, so for those of you playing along, we are reviewing the WWE Network version of this. Obviously, there are some cuts that we might mention later on to the actual live version that's out there. But we are going with the network version for now. And the network version opens with a video from Mr. Vince McMahon himself narrating on it about Philadelphia and what a wonderful city it is. I've never been. I'm trusting that it is lovely. It seems it.
The first thing I thought of when I saw this opening was, it's good to see with the current lineup of talent that they have the money for the WWF blimp with its prestigious captain, because that seemed really important to have at this current time in the show we're about to watch, right? And I always love Vince promos on America and his America and Philly, and you know, those are good stuff. So I actually enjoyed the opening quite a bit.
now we're gonna get regal.
Yes.
In the city of brotherly love.
So the opening's brilliant. Best thing on the show, probably. No, I'm kidding.
I'm glad that you mentioned the prestigious captain, who was, of course, Mr. Koo in Selfies, apparently.
Yes. I couldn't remember the name, so I didn't take the notes. I just wrote prestigious captain.
For those of you who think that name does sound familiar, is he a director? Is that what his actual job is? Is he like Kevin Dunn's right hand man or something?
I honestly don't know.
I know he was the influence for Koo and White, but that's about as far as I can remember.
I want to say he had something to do with like booking the arenas and stuff like that. Maybe like live event, like setting them up and stuff like that, like where they were going when. But I don't know for sure.
I think we can agree that he's somebody behind the scenes that they wanted to mention.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, but I don't think no matter what he does, being the prestigious captain of the WWF blimp is the greatest job of all time. Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, I was like, that's as high as he ever got, literally and figuratively.
So once the Lions rip through the graphics, we are joined by bug-eyed Stephanie Wyand herself. Everybody reminisces about Todd Pettingill, but 1995 also gave us Stephanie Wyand.
She's a very scary-looking lady. She's scary. With her little short bob and bug eyes, she could be like a horror movie.
She took makeup tips from The Undertaker.
Yes.
Very ghostly.
Yep.
You can moan about some of the women WWE hire today, but just remember 25 years ago, they hired Stephanie. So it's not always been now where the hiring bar's been low. It's been in the past as well. But she welcomes us to the pay-per-view and gives us the words that most people dread, because we have got a Coliseum home video exclusive, gentlemen. Aren't we the lucky ones? Between Savio Vega and IRS to decide the very last spot in the King of the Ring tournament. This spot came about because of a rib injury to Razor Ramon. I've put rib injury in quotation marks. I'm not entirely convinced. How about you? How about you guys?
It's funny, I also put rib injury in quotation marks, but I did some research on this because being old, I do that for you guys, right? So he supposedly sustained the rib injury in a ladder match with Double J Jeff Jarrett. So that's apparently the rib injury was supposedly legit, but I still question it. But he supposedly got into that ladder match.
I think they did mention that in one. I think they mentioned that in the one of the other matches he has.
Yeah, they might have, but I believe that. But I did read that, and it might be legit. But I'm with you. I question it certainly.
So, yeah, it's a little heavy.
Yeah.
It's not like Razor to fake an injury, or one of the, you know, any one of the Click even to fake an injury. They're such upstanding.
Well, Razor's very interesting this show, and I'm going to talk about it as we go through the show. It's a very interesting Razor Ramon we get tonight. But anyway.
Yeah, definitely. So, like I say, this spot came about as a result of Razor's injury. But Savio had only debuted the month before. So you've got one guy who's making his debut in this gimmick and another guy who has got one foot out the door already to go to WCW. Logan, this is a very, very paint-by-numbers match, isn't it? Even by pre-show standards.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty paint-by-numbers. I wrote down that Vega was escorted up by his good buddy, Razor Ramon, and I figured that they probably have spoken like four words to each other at this point, so they're real best friends, you know. I also wrote down that Danny Davis looked pretty dweeby in his long-sleeve ref shirt that he had on.
Oh, it was horrendous. I wrote the same thing. It looked absolutely terrible.
It's so bad.
Danny Davis is still around in 1995. Good God.
It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Doc Hendricks dreams up a scenario where IRS and Kama would meet in the finals, that it would be like DiBiase's wet dream. and the thought of IRS wrestling four times made me want to stick needles in my eyes. So, but yeah, it was pretty paint my numbers. I think it was, you know, kind of a two-star-ish match just because it wasn't bad, but, you know, it didn't really have enough time to really make much of a difference at the same time.
You're being very generous. What grade did you give it, Sean?
Wow, Logan, you and I are going to agree on this match. I also went 2 stars as well, shockingly. So part of that, so there's a lot of fun in this. So immediately, like, Doc starts selling the 4 matches, 3 hours for one of these become king. And my first thought is, man, what a way to sell the possibility of it ending with 4 IRS matches or 4 matches for a guy who debuted a month ago. Just think about that ending, right? IRS is clearly cooked. Like you said, he's on his way out the door, and he's just going through the motions and selling Vega's offense. I mean, obviously the match was clearly meant for Savio to shine, right? Because he got a lot of shine. Mm-hmm. First of many headlocks we'll see this evening. I have a big hang up on some of the rest holds we see tonight. It drives me nuts. You know, but I think it's short and harmless with Savio almost squashing, and he wins with the spin kick, and I think it served its purpose. The one thing I also do like, I like that they – you know, there were stakes in this, and it was kind of stakes for the crowd involved and for the ones going to watch at home that, hey, if I come here and I watch a dark match, one of these guys has stake in the game to win this match. So I kind of like that as well, although the two participants probably didn't get the local crowd that excited. And I'm sure losing Razor immediately set the course for the evening we're about to have. But overall, I gave it 2 stars. I agree with Logan. I don't think it was that bad. I think it was okay.
I feel quite bad now. I only gave it 1 star.
Well, you know, we always have to have somebody be the outsider. It's okay.
That's like, I'm glad that you mentioned the crowd, though, because obviously the front two rows, unbeknownst to Vince, I think, was quite a number of the ECW faithful who would play a big part later on in the evening.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, so they're all there. And so, like the boy said, Savio does win with the spin kick to get himself through to the Elite Eight. And I've got elite in quotation marks as well.
Oof.
A little by the way to people who ask me, we don't do play-by-play on this show purely for two reasons. One, I'm not that good at it. If you want play-by-play, listen to Rory or Logan on the excellent Impact Zone podcast. They're much better at it than I am. I'm good at the talking. I can't do the old paying attention to every move. And these shows that we're watching are reasonably well known. You don't need me to tell you every single thing, every single rest hold, every single big move that happened, because you know them all probably anyway.
Well, and it also gives more time to either shit talk it or praise it too in between. So you're good.
That too. I would much rather hear us talk than, you know, be like totally analytical about a match. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we open the show up properly. Savio has to come back out again, gents. They don't even let him rest. They're going in bracket order. So it is, at the top of the bracket, Savio Vega versus Yokozuna. Yokozuna at this stage is the one half of the tag team champions. Savio, as we know, beat IRS to get to this stage. Yokozuna beat Lex Luger by countout.
Shocker.
To get... Yes.
Sound familiar?
Sure does.
I mean, that is quite... I mean, that show... I mean, you don't exactly blame Lex for leaving, do you? If this were happening to him at this stage.
Well, you know what I like about it? You know, Yoko beat Luger to get there, which is a really good twist of fate. Beats him by countout, and then Luger's back in WCW in 3 months. So, good way to send him back out. It's come round circle. It's good.
So
speaking of twist of fate, the Hardy Boys look thrilled to be opening the doors for this evening.
Yes, we've got to talk about that for sure.
Yeah, they look really happy. I mean, that's going to be one of the dullest jobs in the world, hasn't it?
And in their hand-me-down purple Savage gear that he left when he went to WCW. This might make one of my wardrobe highlights. They're clearly wearing Randy Savage gear that was left behind. So that was good.
Okay, so the commentators are already putting over Savio having already wrestled in 10 minutes, 50 minutes earlier, and he's going to be a bit tired. And if you're starting to do that already, then you know we're going to be in for a long night. We also find out before the match even starts, that Savio does an interview. And we do realize that point why Savio has never done an interview in his life before then. Because he isn't that good at it.
No, he's not. And, you know, I think the only thing he really talks about, he babbles and says he's happy. And this is my first Razor note and one of many of the evening. He's one of the biggest stars in the company. And during the whole interview, he says nothing and just stands there and stares like he does nothing. And this is going to be a trend with Razor tonight. So this is going to be interesting to watch.
He just smiles. He looks very happy to be there.
Well, he's happy he's not to be a part of this shit show. That's why he's smiling.
He knows he didn't have to wrestle, so he's probably about three sheets to the wind at that point.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. How gone is he at this point?
Oh, man.
Okay. So this is another... Well, I say another. We've only had two so far, but this is another dull, boring match. Many rest holds again, including, and I timed it, a 57-second nerve pinch hold. Good Lord.
I like 57 minute better. You had the Iron Man pinch hold going there. That was good, Ben.
57 seconds. I mean, he's only wrestling the once. I know he's a big lad, but he's only wrestling the once. Logan, did you manage to stay awake during this?
Yeah, I didn't really think it was that bad. You'll start to learn. I'm kind of positive on Savio for this night, but... I kind of thought it was like the first match. I went 2 stars. I thought it was, you know, I thought Yoko worked pretty hard for what it was worth. And, you know, I think Savio busts his ass pretty much all night. So I made the note that Yoko always looks like a friggin' dumbass when he does that elbow drop and just has no intentions of hitting him at all. Oh, I mean, just no intentions at all of hitting him. There was a USA chant during this match, and there's not a single person in the match that's from the USA, so that's hilarious. So, Yoko looks like a dumbass again when he runs into the post and loses by count out. So,
King Yokozuna.
Well, the end of this match, I reckon the end of this match was the only bit of physical action Razor actually got involved in until the very end. So the end of the match comes when Owen Hart attacks him from behind, and then that causes both guys to come out. I mean, Sean, were you as pissed off as me that Owen can attack somebody but he can't wrestle? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, first off, Logan and I are 2 for 2. I also win 2 stars on this match. So, Logan, we're on a roll tonight.
Gentlemen.
So hang on, let me explain first, right? So a couple notes that I made, you know, Vince, you know, on commentary gets excited when he says Vega, like he says it like he's having an orgasm. So I love how he says Vega, right?
Star.
And then Savio, you know, and then you see Yokozuna's flag, and it has Savio with his little tiny flag. I think Savio needed a bigger flag. It was really, really terrible. And then Owen Hart, right? Owen's in the back on the hotline yelling in the red bat phone versus wrestling on this show is the note I made. And I guess he got eliminated because him and Bulldog, who also should have been in this King of the Ring, went to a 15-minute draw. So I'm glad that the Raw that was probably on was a lot better than what we're getting here, which is insane. I made the Yoko note as well. So really good. You know, and then one of the parts of the nerve hold, he's actually bent over. And it actually looked painful for him to do that as he bent over and he just stood there. And I think even bending over, it looked like he was in pain, right? And then, yes, one of the many missed elbow leg drop spots tonight we see on the big men, we see this all night long. I also made a note about the USA champ for Savio, who's from Puerto Rico, right? And then there's the other one, the trophy multiple big man won't go down clothesline. You know, Vega does the clothesline to Yokozuna a couple times and he won't go down. And that's a very big man kind of thing to do. And then, yeah, he won by count out. I thought it was a good showing for Savio, who, again, got lots of shine. And, you know, he's only debuted 1 month ago, and he's already beat a former tag champ, and now he's beat a former world champ and current tag champ. So good shine. It served his purpose. I gave it 2 stars.
Gentlemen, you're far too kind. You're far too kind.
We're trying to make chicken salad here, man.
Yeah, let's remember the premise of this show, man.
I tried as well, but, you know. I also mentioned another Vince trope throughout the night that started here, which was the Savio Rocky comparison.
Oh, yeah, you're so right. Yep.
And it's like if Vince hadn't said it once, he'd said it 1,000 times during the night. So it was all like, Vince, just stop. You've clearly never seen the movie. Just, you know, Pritchard or somebody backstage has just told you to keep saying it.
Yeah, the commentating, and then again, we'll get into it. I find the commentating tonight very, very annoying and frustrating. I hate the commentating tonight, so.
Okay, and then so at the end of the match, we go backstage where Jerry Lawler is getting ready for his big Kiss My Foot match with...
Fuck this.
Sean's declaring his hand early when it comes to this match. For those of the nation who are unaware, Sean has a particular hatred of feet, which will come out later on, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, it'll come out for sure.
So from there, we go back out to the ring and we go to our second quarterfinal match between the Roadie and Bob Holly.
So before now, we start that, can I make a comment about the Lawler foot shot real quick?
You can make comments about the foot.
All right. I was going to say I hate feet. This whole segment's gross. He's got a dirty sock spraying his boot. Vince tells Lawler his dressing room stinks, so clearly you can smell it out in the arena, right? and then Lawler does a promo, and then he has a really bad Achilles heel joke at the end, which is just terrible. And the first thing that came through my mind watching this, I'm thinking, coming up later tonight, Memphis legend and former AWA world champion versus one of the greatest of all time in a match built on feet. Let that soak in for a minute. So now we can go.
But don't let the feet soak in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't let the feet soak in. But two of the greatest of all time are going to end their blood feud on a foot match. Tragedy. But anyway.
Lawler also says something about he almost got arrested for sock abuse. So that was another good line.
Yeah, Lawler's just a comedian. All right, so go ahead then.
It's a serious feud, gents. It's a serious feud. Come on.
It was 2 years ago when it kicked off, but we'll get to that later tonight.
So, as I was saying, we get to the second quarterfinal. I mean, what a big match this is when, you know, these two have made it through. And when you hear who they beat to get here, gents. So we've got the Roadie with Jeff Jarrett, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Bob Holly. The Roadie beat Doink the Clown.
That's a tragedy.
And Bob Holly beat the legend that is Mantor.
He beat him six weeks ago on Raw.
Doink comes me out. I love Doink, so the fact that he lost, I'm a big Doink mark. But more about the Matt Bourne Doink, not the recent Doink. That's still a pretty big win for the Roadie at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as Doink went face, I lost interest,
yep.
Really.
Yep.
I mean, so, yeah. So, before we even get into the match, the Intercontinental Champion is seconding at ringside, because that's a good use of him.
Yeah, he lost a qualifier to The Undertaker. So, again, it was important to give away maybe a marquee matchup on this pay-per-view and give it away on a Monday Night Raw. So clearly at the time, ratings on TV mattered way more than their pay-per-views. And of course, we can't miss the main event of Holly and Mantar. I think we really missed out on that match here, too.
So. Now, I need to ask you a question. Do you guys have quality streets over in America?
Not that I know of.
They're basically a box of chocolate assortment. So, you know, toffees, fudges, that kind of thing. Nuts, that kind of thing.
We got those kind of things. That's not what they're called.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett is dressed like one of them tonight. He's got a red Quality Street jumper shirt on, not a jumper. that shirt is quite spectacular.
Ain't he great?
Very shiny. I like his cow print pants better.
but remember, when we get to 2004, he's a new guy. He's not, you know, he's nothing to do with the tradition or the past or anything like that.
Well, that's the beauty of, for all of us. We get to do this show and watch Jared, and then we get to turn around and do it again on the other podcast. So we get lots of Jared FaceTime right now. A lot of fun.
Don't remind me.
All right. Sorry, Ben.
So we also get a mention from Doc about how this is a dark horse match. So then even admitting on commentary that these two really shouldn't be there. Again, it's an okay match. It's a basic match. There's yet more rest holds, though, Sean.
I know I'm supposed to be the king of shit takes, but I gave this door 2.2. I gave this match 2.25 stars, and let me tell you why. obviously, Jarrett's not on the show, so now we're at a point now where we've had Razor, Owen, Jeff Jarrett, Luger, and Bulldog, all who should have been on the show. So we have five of our main guys not on the show, and now we have this match. And I think there's a trend that we're seeing that I'll talk about at the end with what I think is a little bit of a hot take. But anyway, Holly's hair and ring gear is horrendous. Like, Holly has some of the worst hair I've ever seen in my life, and his ring gear is just as bad. And I thought, you know, the match started really quick. Holly had a suplex, and he had multiple pin attempts. I mean, quite honestly, from a pin attempt standpoint in the first minute, it reminded me of Savage and Steamboat at Mania 3 because that's how many he did in the first minute. It was a hot start. So, you know, for comparison, I thought the first few minutes were very fast-paced. I thought Holly looked great. I thought Rhodey hit a really good powerbomb. Yeah, there were some rest holds. But I thought Bob Holly looked really, really good. And the way he lost, I thought the ending was really stupid with the jump off the rope and Rhodey puts his foot up, which is really stupid. But and it looked like the finish was botched because it looked like Holly was trying to kick out. But at any rate, I thought it looked odd. The ending sucked, but I thought it was surprisingly solid, and I gave it 2.25 stars. Shocking.
It was a bit of a weird ending, wasn't it? You don't usually see a pin come from the old jump off the top rope going wrong.
Yeah, it was sudden. So, but that's my take on the match. I didn't think it was that bad, and so far it's match of the night for me.
I went 1.5 stars as well. I think 2.25. I'm having a mare here, boys. So yeah, I went 1.5 stars, which I think gives it my match of the night so far. Logan, what did you think?
I'm going to continue my 2-star streak, so I give it 2 stars. I like the quick pin attempts by Holly. Hendrix at some point says Holly's racetrack nickname is Crash Test Dummy, so I thought that was pretty funny. Hendrix really harps on the fact that Rhodey's not going for the kill. Like, he's kind of dominating the match from an offensive perspective, but he's not going for the pinfalls, and he's not really going for a finisher or anything like that. I also made the note that Bob Holly has the best dropkick in the history of professional wrestling, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I had that in my notes too, and I forgot to mention, but his dropkick is amazing.
Oh yeah,
it is very good, but it's no AJ.
Well, no, but what is?
That's true. And Ben, the bad refereeing and the botched 3 counts just follow us over from the other pod. So this one ended with another botched 3 count. So, but yeah, I went 2 stars.
Yeah, I don't think the ending was meant to be that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. So our first semifinal is that it is going to be the Roadie versus Sammy Vega. I mean, that is a bad sign straight away, isn't it? That's like, could you imagine being in this crowd and you go, that's going to, we've got that to come.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. And honestly, I think, I mean, I know what they're trying to do with Roadie here, but Holly probably should have won. We probably would have got a better match with Holly and Vega, right? So, but yeah, not much to get excited for coming up later in the night.
All right, so then we get to our third of our quarterfinal matches. Karma versus Shawn Michaels. From the outside world looking in, Shawn, I'm quite happy to say that Shawn Michaels was probably the favorite going into the tournament.
Absolutely. He had just turned face. I think he had just returned from injury not too long ago from that Sid powerbomb after Mania. So, yeah, he was a shining face here, and I think everybody automatically assumed, oh, he's in a tournament, he's going to take it. How quickly things change.
Okay, so who they beat to get this far. So Shawn, in his comeback match, beat King Kong Bundy.
That's awesome, by the way. I love that.
What, the King Kong Bundy's around in 95?
No, I love that Shawn Michaels beat him. I think it's, Bundy was big back then. He was part of the Million Dollar Corporation, which was like the $5 corporation at this point, as you'll see this show. But yeah, I just thought it was cool. Like, if you look from a childhood standpoint, for me and Logan, again, you weren't around, but King Kong Bundy, who was in the main event of WrestleMania 2, lost a match to Shawn Michaels in 1995. That's kind of cool, I think. But anyway,
he's got name value.
Yeah, he's got name value. Yeah,
which we're moaning today that people don't use that to get people over, and here we go. Karma beat Duke the Dubster Drossy, which shows you again the plethora of stars in 95.
Yeah, Karma had a rough night that night.
So, before the match even starts, Karma destroys a wreath on the aisleway, which has been put there by the Undertaker's Creatures of the Night, because in storyline, for those of you who don't know, Karma has took the urn. Has he melted the urn by this stage?
I don't think he had the chain around his neck yet, did he?
No, they had it out in the ring. It was in one of the corners.
Yeah.
The only reason I put that in my notes is because Doc Hendricks got to reference a bit of Pink Floyd, which pleased me greatly. That's the only reason I mentioned it, because that's all that happened there, really. There was nothing that exciting. So, Logan, I don't know if you've seen the unedited version of it, but obviously in Shawn's entrance, he goes up to the coronation area to try on the bits of equipment that are there, and the crown is far too big for him, which is, again, another warning sign of what's to come.
Yeah, I actually have seen it, and I think Barry Dudinsky actually hawked some souvenirs at the same time. When that happens, so I have seen the unedited version before.
And you would have thought that it wouldn't fit his head, because Shawn's head and ego at this point was so big at this point, right? So it should have fit. It probably shouldn't have fit for the other reason, not the one it was.
Absolutely.
And at this point, if you weren't sure who those two gentlemen were holding the door, you got a really good look at the Hardy Boys, looking like they could be anywhere else than right there.
Yep.
So the match begins, and if you don't already know, this match ends in a 15, and they're very much playing for the 15 minutes. They don't even make contact until a minute into the match, which, again, it should be a warning sign right there. Shawn, as we know, in 95 could go, Logan, and he could do a 15 minute match, but who in their right mind would pick Karma to have a 15-minute match, apart from Vince?
I mean, he's the supreme fighting machine. I mean, who else do you want out there? I'm just playing. This is like the most laid out time limit draw of all time. I mean, they don't. You know, I feel like a little bit at the end, Shawn tries to go for the win, but I mean, that they're trying to go for a draw so bad, it's not even funny. I made the note at the beginning of the match. Shawn's a little unclean shaven. He has a little bit of a scruffy.
You took it from me, Logan. You took it.
It's 5 o'clock shadow. I said he must have forgotten to renew his Dollar Shave Club account, so he needs to get back on that. They show smoking Joe Frazier in the crowd. He looks like he just took a huge hit from a bong or something. He looks completely out of it. His mouth is just wide open. I also made the note of, can you imagine walking around with Kama's haircut? I mean, with the little things on the side and then the flat top. at some point with like 2.5 minutes left, the time limit clock pops up. So you can kind of sense it coming. But like I said, they didn't have any sense of urgency throughout this whole match. And you could see the time limit draw coming from a mile away.
That sense of dread comes from everybody, doesn't it? When the clock appears, it's like, okay, this is where we're going. If you didn't already know, this is where we're going.
Yeah, and you know, with Rhodey and Savio being in the other semifinal, you may kind of could see where things were going, but I feel like you should have flipped the next match and this match, so maybe you could even tease that maybe the winner of the next match would face somebody. I would have maybe flipped these next two, or this match and the next match, just, you know, kind of tease that maybe Sean or Kama would face the winner of this next match.
Okay, Alex Sean, what did you think about this contest?
Oh boy, I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this one. So I also made note about the 5 o'clock beard, and you know, Sean, you know, was very egotistical in the back of his interview with Pettengill, and this is some early signs of Vince's obsession with HBK and giving that ha 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 laughter at HBK's really bad jokes. He has orgasms for HBK, clearly. Obviously, the Supreme Fighting Machine, the terrible, you know, Mortal Kombat red spandex, you know, Kama's a little big for that. So clearly Kama looks really, really bad. You already mentioned the haircut. So here we go, guys. I gave this match 2.5 stars. So don't kill me and hear me out. No. This match for me, there's a reason for this. So Kama is currently involved in a feud with The Undertaker, right? And I think for me, the premise for this show, what they're trying to get off is they're trying to build new stars, which would explain why a lot of the main stars are not on it. And they thought they would take a gamble and they would try to build new stars. So Kama's in there with The Undertaker. You have Kama in there with HBK. He's fresh off a face turn. It's kind of like they booked themselves into a corner, right? What are they going to do? They can't have really either person lose. So I thought that you said the opening was kind of like just stalemate. I actually thought the opening exchange was all right. They did a few punches. I thought HBK did some good dodges. I liked the mock fighting with Kama, making fun of the gimmick. I mean, typical HBK, right? You know, standard heel babyface exchanges with long Kama control segments. I get that. You brought up Smokey Joe. Don't forget about Jimmy Buffett and his cowboy hat and his friend out in the audience who keep giving Kama grief. You see them throughout the whole night. So maybe that's where Smokey Joe smoked the bong from, was from Jimmy Buffett and his friends. So I think we both had that. Michaels does a lot of overselling the bumper for Kama. And again, it's apparent they don't want either one of them to job to each other. I thought the 15 minutes went fast, honestly. Michaels definitely sells too much, but I thought Kama ended up looking good, which is what I think they wanted. So you always hear how this match in particular doesn't make a lot of sense for 95 Michaels, as he's a golden child, and Kama is a standard BC player, and no way should it have been a draw. I get it, but for what they booked themselves into with the corner, I think it gets a bad rap for that. So at the end, Sean gets his heat back, and you know, quite honestly, I challenge anyone to find me a better Kama match in the history of the WWF, and I thought it was an unexpected match of the night for me, so I gave it 2.5 stars. So look at the shit taker giving the shit take on one he likes.
I went 1.5 stars, so I wasn't yeah, that far behind you.
Yeah, I think I agree with 1.5 on that one with you, Ben.
And I'm sorry for all the detail, but I feel like I need to explain because I've given a lot of these higher than I probably should have. So just FYI.
Yeah, you two are being very generous. I'm feeling quite bad now because I've gone, for full disclosure, I was watching this quite late at night when I was making my notes and I was very tired and grouchy.
Well, Ben, we're really trying to do the gimmick of the show, right? The gimmick's to try and get it. You know, so if we gave everything chicken shit, the gimmick would kind of suck, but that's why I'm saying.
I try to be positive, you know, but if something doesn't deserve it, it ain't getting it.
Yeah, see, I feel like this match does for all the reasons I said. I don't know. I liked it. I don't know why, but I did.
You made a very compelling case, sir.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. So,
so before our final quarterfinal contest, we go to ringside to Doc and Vince, where they are building up the Mabel Undertaker match like a proper sporting contest. If they could have had the Impact TNA taglines on it, they would have done, because they were breaking it down bullet point by bullet point. To be fair, they did. I thought they did quite a good job here.
Yeah, they were selling this match really hard, because you know it's clear they were at this point to trying to get after Mabel. Taker's their big star. You know, and by the way, the other thing we need to mention in this little break is that we see another blimp, as a Stridex blimp made an appearance. So we've had two blimp appearances in the evening so far.
It's all about that blimp.
Yep, all about the blimp.
Logan, what did you think of the breakdown of the next contest?
Oh, I thought it was really well done. They really pushed this as like a major hoss match between two big old guys. But yeah, I really enjoyed the fact that they really, really tried to push this as kind of like a main event kind of type feel match. But yeah, I enjoyed their little breakdown.
it was really good. And Sean saying I'm not living the gimmick. Well, here we go, gentlemen. I am going to live the gimmick, because my favorite moment of the entire show came up here, where we got an appearance from Mr. Bob Backlund himself. I'm a big Backlund mark at this point. I don't care what anybody says. I love him going, doing his batshit crazy talking to people. For the 2 minutes or 3 minutes it was on, it was thoroughly entertaining. What was he trying to eat? The Philly cheesesteak, and he didn't know what he was handling.
That Philly cheesesteak one is so great because he's bad mouthing the cholesterol in it, but his solve is to put a carrot in it for his veggies, and that popped me. That was definitely my moment of the night. That was so great. Hey, the cholesterol sucks in this. Let me put a carrot in it. This Bob Backlund is great.
Yeah, get your vitamin E and your beta carotene.
And him screaming down the road. Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
I was going to say, is this the last time on pay per view we see him? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. I know he appears in the future, maybe later, maybe years down the road. But the other thing I like about Crazy Bob, I love him screaming down the road in the Cinderella horse carriage. I thought that was five stars too, just screaming at the top of his lungs in a horse carriage in the middle of Philly. And here's the other great thing: this guy was WWF champ seven months ago, and he's not wrestling. So for me, this makes six big stars they could have utilized in a different capacity tonight. So the theme is there of what they're trying to do at this point.
I'm so glad you mentioned the carriage, because I did put in my notes, I love his like wide-eyed crazy stare at the camera.
Yeah, so great.
When he's shouting, and you know, we think it's shouting, it's probably his normal voice.
Oh yeah.
And you know what else is great about this? They had the Lex Express music from 93 playing in the background of this whole video. So that also popped me a little bit. Like, I felt like the Bob Backlund Express was way better than the Lex Express, and we got a lot less of it tonight.
That goes without saying, I think.
Yep.
Backlund was in the 96 Rumble. That's the last appearance I think he makes.
There we go.
Makes sense. Yep.
Okay, so then we head back into the arena, with Mabel making his run down. I say run. Making his walk down to ringside with Mo.
Did you say run down?
I didn't say run. I didn't say run.
That's great.
I said run and stopped myself. With yet more Stephanie Wyand asking the tough questions at ringside, like, are you going to win the match? And how do you think you're going to do in the tournament? Thanks for coming, Steph. So, at this point, though, Mabel had only been a heel for 2 months, and they were already making him out to be the Undertaker's equal. Did either of you buy it that at any point? Never mind just on this night, at any point.
Go ahead, Logan.
No, not really. You know, I mean, I can't say from like a live perspective, obviously, but... you know, just from watching like them being the tag team, like and even the previous year's King of the Ring, like, he loses to IRS by falling off the middle rope and getting rolled up. I mean, you know, I don't feel like he was ever intended to be, like, a huge star, and they, you know, they were just thirsting for something to catch on and, you know, really blow the water out, and really needed a good, solid opponent for Diesel, and that they were just grabbing at straws at this point.
Yeah, I don't think I could have said anything different than what Logan just said. You know, it's clear they need challengers for Diesel, at least until they get to where they want to go with him in the long term, which ends up being Survivor Series, I guess. That might have been a judgment call for different reasons. But, yeah, he just didn't have a whole list of challengers. You know, they burned through Sid so fast. You know, they had a hot angle with Sid. They burned through it, and the matches were some of the complete biggest garbage we've ever seen, right? So it's like, okay, well, let's try and build up another star who will give them just as much big garbage. And that was their thing back in the day, was big man. And that's what they were trying to get to here, clearly.
Also, is that Mo or Reverend Devon with Mabel?
I think Mo has got the least intimidating name in all of wrestling. All I can think about when I see it is, I can't remember what episode of The Simpsons it is. At the very end, when they say, "Oh, let's say Mo,"
I would say he's great value, Devon, Logan.
That would absolutely.
Great, yeah. I mean, I'm going to steal your quote. Great value, Devon.
So yeah, the match itself is, again, it's another snore fest. The Undertaker can only do so much in 1995. He hasn't quite had the Brett Mick Foley dust sprinkled on him yet. But you can't say they didn't try. But at this point, an hour into the show, the crowd's just not giving a shit, is it, Sean?
No, they're not giving a shit. And okay, so here's where I start going on the backtrack of this pay-per-view. It starts here. So first off, bug-eyed Stephanie appears to interview Mabel on his way to the ring. And I love this. He calls her pretty, and I said he lied. So I think right after Katie lied when she came out. I love that Michael P.S. Hendricks is what I'm calling him. I'm calling him Michael P.S. Hendricks. He talked about the obituary blackboard Taker has used to map out his victory over Mabel, which I'm like, where the hell did he pull obituary blackboard out of his ass, right? So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was a cool stare down to kind of sell the bigness. You know, more of the tropey fat man won't go down clothesline spots. Mabel had a really terrible STO to take Taker down. It looked really sloppy. I put on lots. So we're going to go back to the theme of purple. So we talked about the Hardys. Now we have lots of purple for Mabel and Taker with his gloves and boots. And I said, Mabel took the rest of Savage's hand-me-downs and sewed them together to wear his outfit tonight. That's what I put for Mabel. So he's got on multiple outfits for Savage tonight. Lots of punch, kick, choke, terrible kicks for Mabel on Taker. I thought he got a nice belly-to-belly on Taker, so that popped me a little bit. And again, more big man rest spots. Mabel sits on Taker's back to rest, and I can't imagine how uncomfortable it was. It looked like he was sitting for dinner at the country buffet. And I just hate the big man spots. They're so blatant. And Vince, he's so big. And, you know, crowd chants RIP as Bearer Hal. It's just, you know, it's not a great match. It's very tropey. I thought Taker sold as good as he can for Mabel, because clearly Taker's not where he wants to be yet either. And by the way, I thought Mabel had an awesome pile driver on Taker. Like, seeing him do a pile driver on Taker, I thought was really good. So, you know, Kama interferes, comes out, and Mabel gets the shocking win with a leg drop. So, and he actually connected, which, you know, most big men don't connect at that spot. That's the one where they usually miss. So, but no, Mabel's nowhere near ready for this. I actually gave it 1.75. So it's my least favorite match so far tonight.
So I don't know how you two feel, but I have a big problem with people not changing their looks after they've turned either heel or face. There's a worst example later on in this show, but here, you know, when you've got a guy you're meant to be taken seriously and he looks like a kid's TV cat, there's a big problem. They keep mentioning throughout the show how he's from the South Bronx and from Harlem or whatever. Make him look intimidating. Nobody's going to be scared or intimidated of Mabel here. Logan, what were your feelings about the match?
Sean basically stole most of my notes, but let me make a correction.
I'm sorry.
That.
Yeah. Go ahead and sell your own notes, Logan. Put your spin on it,
Logan.
Let me make a correction on the outfit. See, Mabel went and got 3 trash bags. He taped them together and he spray painted them purple and gold.
Okay,
and
that's just as good. That's good.
He made a change to his outfit. He put black on it. When they were faces, it was just purple and gold. He added a little black in there to show that he was a little bit evil. But
wow.
Yeah.
The details, right? The little details.
Makeover show near you, Logan Crosley. Yep.
But yeah, I made the obituary blackboard game plan comment that Sean made. I thought that was pretty good by Hendrix. And I had this thought, and it was super late, so this is probably why I got this introspective. But, you know, since Kama has the chain that the urn is made out of, if Kama shows up, shouldn't that make Taker as invulnerable as he possibly could be anytime he's around?
Unless Kama could control the urn and make it impact Taker's performance on the opposite end of it, because he controls the urn.
That's a good point. But yeah, that's a good point. This was incredibly plotting, and I think I'd probably give it about maybe 1.25 stars.
I've split the difference. I went 1.5 again.
Man, I'm like having the high ones of the evening. That's a shocker.
I'll tell you
don't
what.
Worry, it's about to change in the second half, so don't worry.
you really are living the gimmick, Sean. That's the important
thing. Yeah, it's over now. It's done.
Okay, so at this point, gentlemen, I think we should take a little break. We've had 5 matches so far. Coming up, we will have the Hall of Fame class for 1995. We've got the semifinal. We've got Sean's favorite match stipulation of all time to come. Between 2 wrestling legends. We've got the King of the Ring final itself, and a main event that could be a main event anywhere in the country. Probably could. It should have been on a house show. Never mind a pay-per-view. We will be...
Oh, boy.
We will be back very shortly with the second half of episode 2 of the Chicken Salad. See you soon.
King of beasts with quite so little hair.
I'm gonna be the main event like the king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm working on my
board. Thus far, rather an inspiring thing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
You've run a long way to go, young master, if you think.
No one's saying do this.
Now, when I said that,
no one's saying be there. No one's saying stop that.
No one's saying
see here.
Now see here.
We don't run around all day.
Well, that's definitely out.
We don't do it all my way.
I think it's time that you and I arranged a heart to heart.
Kings don't need advice from little Hornbills for a start.
If this is where the monarchy is headed, count me out. Out of service, out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. This child is getting wildly out of wing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
Everybody
look left.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the second part of the second episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name is Ben Locke, and I am joined yet again by Sean Kidd and Logan Crosland for this look back at King of the Ring 1995. So far, I have been pretty negative on this show, whereas my colleagues have been the positive ones. I think in the second half of the show, we might be switching sides just a little from the gap mutterings I've heard so far. That's a little preview we've got going. Also, while we are here, I might as well tell you about all the other great podcasts that you can hear on the Place to Be Wrestling feed, including the Place to Be podcast, which is the mothership of Place to Be Nation, where co-host JT and so on monthly chronological WWE history of WWE reaction shows and semi-regular monthly shows.
December 99,
just past Survivor.
PTB NXT, the Adam Division podcast.
PTB and Made Event with Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton and Steve Willey.
Also, be sure to check out the current events in the world of wrestling,
littered with great content.
I'm sure all you're aware,
it's going to be quite a depressing listen.
The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular.
Row One, Seat One.
Last interesting look inside the world for you.
Small town age wrestling.
The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast
with host Ben Zani.
Welcoming in a variety of guests every other week.
And while you're at it, subscribe to WCW Head
Stage Theatre
feed as well.
Tim Cable,
this is the home of Jennifer Sassy,
Patriot Pop,
to the legendary
drive-in.
Telling stories,
the Dirty Days Out,
Journey Through Infinity,
Body and Press Your Luck
is a wrestling game show hosted by JT Mazzero and Jordan
Duncan. North South Connection.
This is brought to you by JT,
probably the Chad Campbell, yet.
And Aaron
Some
George,
big heavy
the home of Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred,
With This Ring,
The Extreme
Three Way Dancing,
Jeff Lloyd Wrestling,
Ryan and
the
Cindy Everett,
Aggressive Podcast,
and much
matches
more.
And their respective fandoms.
We have officially kicked off our
You Don't Know Billy Jack,
where Drew Wardlaw and his friend
Jordan the greatest
WCW match of all time.
You have time
all year
through
your research,
eyes of a non-wrestling fan,
to build your list
of the Universal Connection.
Conversations will also be found at facebook.com/WCW matches
or the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have fresh takes and new voices, bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox reports, This Week in the WWE with Jon Crow, Paulie's perspective, and some guy called Ben, who does a column called Unpopular Opinion when he can be bothered. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web. And if you're doing your online shopping over at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side of the Place to Be Nation homepage. Yes, it will help out P2BN and be no extra cost to you. And there you go. And that is why I don't do the read on the special relations, because I'm not that good at it. But we'll go with it for now. I think I got, did I get everything? I think I did.
You did good.
You did good, buddy.
2 stars.
I don't
2 stars.
I will happily take 2 stars at this stage.
Well, for this pay-per-view, take it. It's a win, my friend.
To be fair, at the moment, 2 stars is quite high on this show.
It absolutely is.
Match of the night. Correct. Match of the night.
Just a tad under HBK comma, but you're good.
Only a tad, though.
Only a tad. Quarter star.
I will take that.
All right.
So, let us go back to the show. And we jump back in to the Hall of Fame class of 1995. I'm going to read out the names. And then we can discuss the names, or we'll very quickly move on from some of them, because some of them are persona non grata at the moment.
I only have one to discuss, so go ahead.
Okay, so the 7 names are Pedro Morales, Ernie Roth, Antonio Rocca, The Fabulous Moolah, George Steele, Ernie Ladd, and Ivan Putski. Sean, the floor is yours.
So, I thought it was a nice little recap of the night, showing all the start. So here's the thing. So you get the Hall of Fame, but they also do really good at showing all the, like, main roster stars that are at the Hall of Fame but aren't at the actual show wrestling, which I thought, so that means the Hall of Fame was a bigger draw the night before. But the bigger problem I have why the hell is George Steele in this Hall of Fame? Okay, so so for those of you that might not know, besides feet, there's a certain match at a certain pay-per-view that everyone praises as the greatest of all time. And I'm not going to name it, but at the end of the day, if eating turnbuckles and possibly ruining a great feud ender in a blood feud at the biggest show of the year in 1987 gets the nod, by all means, induct George Steele. But, you know, I hate George Steele, and you guys know why. And then the induction by Bill Murray from an elephant, and he challenges George Steele to a match, and I wrote, please God, no. So that's all I wanted to say about the Hall of Fame. Damn George Steele, damn George Steele.
Yeah, the only note I made was they described Moolah as beautiful as ever.
Still more the induction, though, surely.
Sorry, Logan, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But yeah, Todd describes Moolah as beautiful as ever, and I just said, boy, where do we start with that one?
That's selling her gimmick. She's always been beautiful. That's the gimmick over the years. Every appearance, she's beautiful.
Sure she is.
do you get the feeling that's one now they wish they could take back?
I think there's a lot of things that right now they wish they could take back in the world of the WWE. So
that's for main event. That's not for here, though.
Yeah, that is correct. That is a separate podcast.
So we go from the Hall of Fame the night before back into the arena at the Spectrum for our only semi-final match between Savio Vega and the Roadie. Before the match, we get an interview with the Roadie and Double J, where you get a little insight that the Roadie might be all right at these promos if he gets a chance. Before the match actually starts, though, we got the first glimpse of the ridiculous SV that Savio has had cut into his hair. I don't know if you guys made a note of that, but
yeah,
I did.
I made a note that that's absolutely absurd that he has that shaved into the back of his head. But
the only question I have was did he have that earlier in the night, or did I miss it? Because I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to go back and rewatch it, obviously.
I'm guessing it was there. They just didn't do a close-up.
Okay. That's the first time I noticed it, too.
Yeah, bad night for haircuts.
Absolutely.
It is the mid-90s, though, Logan. It was a bad time for haircuts all round.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
says the man who hasn't had a haircut in, like, nearly 4 months now, but, you know. So this was, yet again, another basic match with plenty of rest holds. The crowd, I noticed, had already started booing and getting restless. It was only going to get worse. But we also, in this match, had the first mention of a new song and video for Double J. I wonder what that could be.
No idea.
Spend my day working hard on the go.
You're stealing another pod gimmick there, Logan. Watch yourself.
Sorry.
We might be in enough trouble with the title of this podcast. We're not going to do that as well.
We doubled down tonight. Good job.
So like I say, it's another very basic plodding match. The finish comes, though, with a bit of a miscommunication from Double J and the Roadie, which allows Savio to roll up the Roadie for the win. Logan, what were your feelings about the match?
It was pretty basic. I think, given the two competitors in the match, I think it was all right. I mean, you don't expect five-star classics out of Savio and Roadie, but, you know, I think the situation Savio was put in, having to wrestle four matches, I think he made the best out of it. I also made the note that the crowd this is the point where I really just don't even think they were booing yet, but they just did not give a shit at this point. I mean, nobody was cheering. Even when Savio hit like a high impact move, or when Roadie hit, a kind of heelish move, they weren't booing or cheering or anything. I think it was it was a little bit worse than the others. So I'd probably do it like 1 3/4, but, yeah, it wasn't horrible, but, you know, They did the best they could.
Sean, this is your third Savio Vega match of the night. Are you warming up to him yet?
No, here's where the glory ends. So to open up, we had a Jeff Jarrett promo with Todd, and I hate Jeff Jarrett's stupid laugh, right? Ha, 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 that dumb JJ laugh. And then Rhodey compares himself to the Rocky statue. I think we brought that up earlier in the night. Hot start for Savio. The announcing just continues to amaze me. They call the shake, rattle, and roll the neck ring maneuver. I don't know if you guys caught that. They can't even remember the name of the damn, you know, neck. It's just incredible. Match is boring. I think the earlier matches made them tired, or it made me tired too. And maybe Rhodey was too busy in the back doing drugs and drinking with the click. So crowd doesn't care. Dumb finish. And then Michael and Vincent go crazy like Savio won the Olympics. So I gave it 1 star, but this match starts the downturn for me.
Speaking of the click doing their drunken drugs backstage, did anybody notice how bombed Razor was in the post-match interview?
I was going to mention that, but I was waiting until you got to that, so I'll let you guys go first. I'll let you guys go first.
So, the post-match interview is a Spanish language interview between Savio and Carlos Cabrera with hilarious, in quote, unquote, commentary and translation from Doc Hendricks, and then, like I say, an absolutely bombed off his face Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, comes in to make sure that Doc isn't being that rude. Logan, interview of the night?
Oh, absolutely. The only thing I've really picked up from Hendricks is he said something like, Savio's had so much success tonight that he's going to stop stealing hubcaps or something to that effect. And I love Doc Hendrick and his swank Joker jacket that he has going on, his purple jacket.
Purple is the color of the night.
Well. All
right, so I put Savio gets interviewed by Spanish announce team while Michael stands and translates everything wrong, which popped me. I think that was hilarious. I agree. Absolutely pretty funny and the best that Michael's been all night, aside for commentary. I love this. And then I put Razor again stands and says nothing, looking like a toolbox as he pretends to understand everything being said in Spanish. And I put Scott Hall is an amazing linguist, apparently. So, yeah. Razor just kind of a dud tonight, and maybe it is the drugs, maybe he's stoned, but you know, this guy is going to challenge for the Intercontinental title in 2 months in one of your main events, and he's just come off looking like a dope tonight. So
it did feel like Scott Hall was basically using Doc Hendricks and Savio Vega to prop him up because he was that out of it. He couldn't stand up properly, bless him.
And he's been like that all night. So again, like I said at the beginning of the pod, it's just a weird night for Scott Hall.
Well, if you're giving the night off, you might as well take advantage, aren't you?
Well, I'm sure he did.
there's no doubt about it, I don't think.
Yep.
All right, so let's get ourselves ready, because I get the feeling this next match is probably going to be our most divisive match. It's a 2-year-long feud. That's quite a scary thought in and of itself, that this has gone on for 2 years. So it is the Kiss My Foot match between Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler. They had a match the month before in your house, which Bret lost due to interference from Hakushi, who will come into this match in a bit. And Bret decided that he wanted any match with Lawler to try and get his hands on him again. So, you know, Jerry Lawler, instead of, you know, coming up with a street fight or a steel cage, no. We'll just have a boring, normal match where the loser has to kiss the winner's foot. Sean, I know you've been championing at the bit to talk about this, so have at it, my boy.
All right, so I'm going to take my personal opinion of feet out of this match and look at it from a wrestling perspective. All right, so, you know, Bret cuts his promo about his history, and, you know, I said it earlier tonight, it's pretty crazy this feud started 2 years ago, right? And here we are again. Very different show, too, if you think about that show versus what we're watching tonight. Bret talks, you know, it's a typical Bret promo, talks about training hard, and You know, I'm thinking to myself how very proud he must be ending this blood feud with a blow off, and again, blowing, you know, another man's foot. Typical Brett, Lawler, slime, scum, wants redemption. I thought this promo sucked. And then, you know, I love Lawler walks out, and Bug Eyes forgets to say something about the smell, so someone must have gotten her ear. And so Lawler has to correct her and to make sure that she brings up the smell that he's emanating, because in the, when she introduces him, she forgets to bring him up. So I think a little bit of a botch there by Bug Eyes, which I thought was a neat little thing before this five-star classic. So, you know, and so then I'll go into the announcing. So the announcers, so this, but guys, remember, this is a blood feud. They've been feuding for 2 years. And so think about that with the context of this match. You know, the announcers complain Brett will be DQ'd because he's being too aggressive, when he wasn't being aggressive because Lawler was dominating, right? Very slow start. Jimmy Buffett bunch outside is going crazy, so they must have just took a hit from the bong. They're going crazy outside. You know, Lawler, the best part of the match for me, Lawler hit three pile drivers, and he's just kicking Brett's ass. Like, Brett's getting no offense. Late in the match, Hakushi comes out. He hits Lawler by accident, allows Brett to take control. He does the heart moves of doom. It wins with the sharpshooter. Honestly, guys, I thought for a blood feud and what this match could have been, it was absolute shit. I think it's the worst Bret Hart match since the 91 start as IC champion. It might be the worst match all the way up till he leaves for WCW. After the match, Hakushi hits Lawler again. Lawler eats Brett's foot, you know, which is gross. I vomit then. Brett then makes Jerry eat his foot. Then I vomit also. I just think, and then Vince seems to think Brett's toe tastes like chicken. I don't know if you caught that comment. Ah, Brett's toes taste like chicken. What a waste of an end to a feud. I think the only way you could have made it worse was by having a George Steele run in, as clearly he was in town for the Hall of Fame. So, 1 star for the three pile drivers. The rest of the match can fuck off. This match sucks.
Just say what you think.
I hate this match. You know what? Just because I just read it out loud, we're gonna go 0.75. I can't even give it the 1 star.
He took it down a notch. Logan,
pisses me off this match so much. So go ahead. Sorry.
Just rest. Take a drink and we'll...
don't want to stroke out. So go ahead. We're good.
Logan, where are you standing on this?
I'm gonna go with Sean's original score of 1. In the pre-match promo of Brett, we get the classic Jerry Slimeball Lawler.
That's pretty good, Logan.
He always pulled that. I think, and then we get the interview with Jerry in the aisleway, and I think he basically blames the bad smell on Stephanie's dirty pussy or something like that. I guess that's what he's trying to do.
Poor Stephanie.
All right. That makes the match 5 stars right there. That's amazing.
But when Brett comes out, I feel like the crowd kind of wakes up because, oh, wow, it's actually finally a star coming out. It's not somebody we don't have a fucking clue who is. They immediately lose the crowd by letting Lawler, who's basically a goof at this point. I mean, I know he's a real good wrestler, and I know he has a lot of history, and he actually is really good and really, you know, he's a big deal. But, you know, in WWF, he always been booked as kind of a goof. So letting a goof completely dominate your best wrestler completely took the crowd out of the match from the opening stages. Earl Hebner solidifies himself as the worst ref of all time by just blatantly letting Lawler hit him with a boot. I mean, you know, he kind of pushes him out of the way, but not really. The commentary pushes the fact that if Hart loses this match, his career is over, which I think is hilarious for the fact that Lawler is actually a pretty historically well thought of wrestler. But then I said Brett learned from his mistakes and let go of the sharpshooter before he gets disqualified after he gets the victory.
Yeah, I liked how, yeah, like you say, it did play into the SummerSlam match, didn't it, where Brett quickly let go because he knew what was on the line. I went 1.75, so I wasn't that far ahead of you.
Now who's stoned?
I think that might be the lowest mark I've ever given a Bret Hart match, though.
Well, rightfully so, though.
But yeah, yeah, like, you could very much tell they were wrestling at lawless pace in this. I did enjoy the three pile drivers, but Bret pretty much was, apart from the five moves of doom, was all punch and kick. That was all he was doing. And he, you know, he didn't give a shit, did he? But nope. Do you blame him with the way 95 was going at this point?
Nope, he gave no shits at all.
You know, he could see the click were running roughshod, and he was basically waiting until they messed up fully so he could take advantage.
And like I said, I think the thing that frustrates me the most, they had a chance to really have a really classic blood feud ender here, and this is the route they went, and I can't, and it just made me so angry. And as I watched the match, I just kept getting angrier that this was the blow off to its 2-year feud that started out at the first King of the Ring, which was an absolutely amazing show. So,
yeah, I don't know how you felt, Logan, but I was watching it. I was like, I didn't mind the stipulation for the end of the match, but we could have had a different type of match to get to that stipulation, like Sean was saying, you know, like a cage match or something. You know, just let this has been going on for 2 years. We don't want just a boring, plodding, you know, southern punch fest.
Let's eat foot. That's what we're gonna do for this blood feud. We're gonna make people eat feet. It's just
ridiculous. I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that as the stipulation for the end of it.
You liked feet, probably. So.
Yeah, I don't mind the kiss my foot part, but
what is wrong with you two? Really?
Well, I mean, it's supposed to embarrass your opponent, so I think it kind of works for, you know, embarrassing Lawler. But like, yeah, this needed to be a lot more. I mean, they weren't doing hardcore matches and street fights at this point, so there's only so much you can really do. But I feel like Lawler dominated far more of the match than he should have, and I really this thing should have been Bret just beating the shit out of him and just laying waste to him and just, you know, and then finally getting his revenge by sticking his foot in his mouth. So. Well,
and the sad part is it'll continue at the next pay-per-view. It's just Lawler brings somebody else to continue the feud. So this really wasn't the end game for this feud at all, which it should have been, but
it's got to be Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
The dentist. But we also got to find out how flexible Jerry Lawler is, which, you know, I'm sure we were all glad of that.
Well, and what also makes it worse is that before the next match, and Ben, if I'm jumping ahead, I'm sorry, they recap the winner. They recap the winners of the last two King of the Rings. The first one was Bret, the next one's Owen, and now we just did this right after this match. Bret's shiny moment at King of the Ring, Owen's shiny moment at King of the Ring, and now we get this match to piggyback on it. It's just like, oh, why don't we just shit on the Hearts as much as we can tonight so far?
I had got that in my notes. I was like, we're showing the last two winners, and then we're going to get this. You know.
There we go. Ah, good lead-in. There you go.
Continue the lineage. You know, the fine tradition that's been coming. So as we mentioned, we get to the final of the King of the Ring tournament, pitting Savio Vega against the very rested Mabel. Savio's obviously wrestled 3 times already tonight. Mabel's only had to wrestle the once. I know we've mentioned the commentary a few times, but the commentary here really annoyed me. You know, going with the, trying to do the whole Rocky thing before the match has even started. The crowd just do not give a shit at the start of the match. You can tell Vince is like, ring, you know, the ringing the bell, here we go sort of thing. Trying to do like, it's trying to be like WrestleMania 18 with Rock and Hogan, and the crowd were just sitting on their hands, just did not care less. But Savio does start off quick, including a very impressive clothesline over the top rope of Mabel, which when you think of a guy that size, that was quite a good move.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really good. And, you know, the rope, like, went almost down to the mat. So it was pretty impressive, right? It was pretty cool.
This match continues the fine tradition this show has got with rest holds, with not one, but two bear hugs from Mabel. Because one just wasn't enough. We needed to see that fat, sweaty pig wrap his arms around him a second time. Of course, we get the moment of the whole show during this match, which is where Vince goes, listen to this, as the massive ECW chant rises up in the building. So then we get the spin kick for Mabel, spin kick on Mabel that gets two, that beat IRS earlier in the night. We then get the big splash from Mabel onto Savio to get the three, and we have a new king, gentlemen. I went 0.5 stars. I went half a star for this, if you want to be metric about it. Logan, how about you? How did you feel about the match?
Yeah, I went 0.5 stars. And any semblance of the crowd getting back into the show with Brett immediately goes away as soon as these two come out. And I think this is really the point where they actively start hating it and start booing and start doing other chants. Like you mentioned, there's two bear hugs and there's a headlock on the ground. So, I mean, just way too many rest holds. You know, they weren't trying to get anybody back into this match that it was, you know, if anybody was into the match to begin with. I made the note that, you know, Savio winning this wouldn't have made it better. Nobody wanted to see King Savio either, but goddamn, he fucking deserved it at this point. having worked as hard as he did with the slugs that he did throughout the night. Yeah, I said Mabel absolutely squashes Savio like the little strawberry he is.
strawberry.
He looks like a strawberry.
That's awesome.
But, yeah. Yeah, he splashes him and gets the win.
Sean, were you into this match at all? Were you chanting ECW at the screen as well?
You know, here's the thing. I mean, what they're trying to do is build Savio up, which I think they've done a good job. You know, Savio's made, you know, he did the same mistake with Mabel he did with Yokozuna. We didn't talk about earlier where he tries to lock up with the guy who's like 200 pounds, 300 pounds bigger than him. Why would you do a lockup with someone that big? You know, you already talked about, you know, we had another big missed elbow guy drop. We got more bear hug spots, and I made a comment that looks like Mabel's taking a nap. Then we get another big man spot with the headlock. Seems like an hour. Crowd is hot. Chanting ECW. Mabel with the big splash. And then, you know, I think what changes this match for me in terms of where I would rank it would be the after part of the match. So I don't know if you want us to talk about the after part of the match before I go where I'm going to go with this match. As far as
you can talk about it. I don't mind.
All right. So we finally get Razor. Razor finally wakes up. I guess he finally got out of his drug haze. He attacks, and I love it. He gets his ass absolutely kicked, and it should be because it was his own fault because he attacked first, right? And Mabel hits an elbow from second rope on Razor. Again, it's hanging down to the mat. Then 1-2-3 comes out, Kid comes out, and he also eats a ton of shit. So I think that's great. So you think about Men on a Mission have now destroyed three top faces of 95 WWF, right? So that's pretty cool. If you're going to sell somebody as a big threat, you know, selling three of your top baby faces and just destroying them, that's pretty good. And then I love that when Mabel go to the throne, Bo reads a scroll, and the heat is just off the chain. The crowd throws trash. They hit Mabel in the head. And he gets really visually angry and pissed off. Vince and Doc no sell it, but say that the fans are angry. Behind Mabel, you can see security and crowd looking for the heathens that threw the trash, which I made me laugh. The faces come back and try to attack, but they're held back by Mabel, and he has clearly punked them out. So I really like the aftermatch festivities, including Mo bowing to the king. But the faces came off really weak. But to make Mabel like a really good heel, I think the aftermatch sold that. And you can argue that Mabel's the wrong guy to get that kind of shine. But I think they got exactly what they wanted from the crowd in terms at the end. And it might have been a go-away heat. But for me, I give the match 1 star because I would probably go half a star, well, maybe 1.25. I'd probably go 0.5 stars on the match. And then the after effect probably – I'd probably give it a 0.75 because I thought the after was awesome. I just wish it was somebody besides Mabel that got that heat. So there's my long-winded explanation.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. We like long-winded on this show.
No. that middle rope elbow was fucking terrible, though.
It really was, but it still popped me.
I got you. And Mabel wearing the trash bag outfit worked out now, so he can put all the trash in his onesie he's got going on.
But I would like to know what you guys thought about the after part, because I really thought that was one of the best parts of the show, to be honest with you. So,
I did like the beatdown. I mean, the whole thing of the kid just appearing out of nowhere. It's like, where have you been all night? Why are you coming out here?
In the back, but, smoking the rest of the weed.
Yes. But I like the fact that they sold it, you know, even though it's 3-on-2, the two should beat the three in this case, because one guy's injured, one guy's just coming back from an injury, and the other guy's wrestled four matches in one night. They should be beating up three guys like this.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about it, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always good for a good post-match beatdown, but yeah, I think it really put over how dominant Mabel was going to be pushed, but yeah, I liked it all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was the wrong guy with the great ending, right? So it would have been really great if it was somebody major that got that heat besides Mabel.
Mm. And carried on the great value Devon theory.
Yeah.
The Moe's reading of the scripture was beautiful, I thought.
Only if he had said, "Oh, my brother, testify."
He could have had, like, gimmick infringement.
Yeah.
And then he bowed down to the king, too. Devon never would have bowed down to Bubba, so I'm just saying.
How about that sword, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty sweet. That was pretty sweet. Okay. We then go backstage where Jerry Lawler is using up all the mouthwash and toothpaste products he can get his hands on.
Oh, fuck.
Because, you know... Because if there's one thing the WWE does when they try to do something funny, is hammer that point home. Yes, he's had a foot in his mouth, guys.
And then Vince laughs like an idiot again. Like, oh, I can't stand that laugh. Hate it.
Vince says something about him having, like, ptomaine poison or something like that.
Oh, God. Just awful.
I would love to know, like, what Vince McMahon, you know, just have, like, that time with him just to find out what he finds funny, because it seems to be things from, like, 20, 30 years ago that weren't really that funny then.
Honestly, I think Vince McMahon would let someone go out on TV and fart for 2 hours, and he'd think it would be the greatest thing he'd ever watched in his entire life. That's how I think about Vince.
Yeah, I think Vince is a big toilet humor guy, so I think Sean's spot on with that one.
Yep. He loves dirty feet. He loves farts. He's really into the nasty body stuff. That's Vince. Think about it. You gotta puke. Remember that? So he's really into that.
Or the Mae Young sardines thing when she like gave the Bronco Buster to
God, don't remind me of that. Oh yeah. So yeah, the trend is there for sure.
Stephanie Wyan must have taken some notes from Mae Young on that one.
She's gonna give birth to the hand. It's gonna be hilarious.
We're gonna make Briscoe puke.
Speaking of our dear old Stephanie, I think this is gonna be the last time we're gonna see a gentleman, I'm afraid.
Very sad.
She does an interview backstage with Sid and Tatanka for the match ahead, where they reveal their strategy before the match, which I didn't really think that was appropriate for a big heel faction to give away what their strategy was beforehand.
Well, or the premise that the brainchild that Sid is even has a strategy, you know? That's even amazing in itself.
That strategy is they are going to go straight for Diesel's elbow, the elbow that was severely injured in the previous month by Sid. It's in your house for the when the WWF title match took place. So I mentioned earlier about people not changing their look. This is the example I was coming out of. Tatanka still in 1995 with the Native American gear on. What the hell is that all about?
Well, you know, it's a trend that we're seeing now in the two shows we watched. Last show, it was Ricky Morton wearing the rock and roll gear, right? So we're definitely seeing this trend in the turns. I think him harping on the elbow is just him setting up the reason for why Diesel tonight will have a pure shit performance. It's very clear what he's setting up there. I think it was a typical Sid promo. Tataka jumps in, and he sounds like a preschooler, I think. He sounds terrible. promo sucks, and I said DiBiase should ask for his $1 million back. That's what I said.
Yeah, but he's got. But remember, he's got the war paint on, so he's being serious.
Ugh, this is awful. Logan, what do you think? I think it was terrible.
Yeah, no, nobody's left deserving of a main event spot than 1995 Tatanka. I mean, he is cooked at this point. I mean, he probably didn't deserve a main event spot at any point, but at this point, he really is past his expiration date.
Quick question while we're all here. Is Sid the best, worst wrestler of all time?
Ooh. I think late 96, I was probably peak Sid, but I also think that's because Shawn Michaels carried him to a couple matches. But if you think about who he worked with, right? So he had Michaels, he had Undertaker, he had Bret Hart. So he got a lot of people to carry him through his little mini title reign. But I think there's a stretch out there where we could say he's definitely the worst, best wrestler of all time. People still love him. And even in 2000 WCW or whatever year it was, he was there last. People just absolutely love the guy. So yeah, I think there's a good case for that.
He's got it. Whatever it is, Logan, he has got it in spades.
Yeah, he's got something for sure. I would have to really think about it, but yeah, he'd definitely be up there on that list. I think so. I would agree with both of y'all.
So I know I've mentioned already about wrestlers changing their looks and how, you know, they should do it. They maybe shouldn't go to the extent that Bam Bam Bigelow did. This guy was one of the premier badasses in wrestling, and he comes out to quite possibly the lamest music I've ever heard.
Oh.
And they have made a fire suit for him with these sparklers that come out of his wrists that, you know, go about 2 foot in the air. Logan, like, what is going on here? What have they done to the poor man?
Yeah, I mean, face Bam Bam is just, it's trash. I mean, it's all of it's awful. The music's awful. The outfit's awful. The flame guns don't even work. And even when he gets in the ring, he tries to fire, I think, his right hand off, and it doesn't go off when he has it up, and he almost shoots it into the fucking crowd. So they almost had a lawsuit on their hands. But everything about face Bam Bam just blows to me.
How are you feeling about face Bam Bam, Sean?
All right, well, can I talk about the promo beforehand, before he comes out?
Okay.
All right, so the heels come out, and I will tell you, Sid's music will always rule. It really has that psycho feel to it, yeah. So you get it. And then Diesel and Bam Bam promo in the back, Nash acts like he's cool dick, right? He's just very cool, with his very dyed black hair, so I assume at that point it was turning gray already, because it was very, very black. Diesel, and then we get into a little bit of Steiner math. Diesel said he's at 50% still better than the heels. And then he calls Tatanka Pocahontas, which, you know, nowadays probably wouldn't go over too well, right? Very classy. And then he refers to he and Bam Bam as Beauty and the Beast. And Bam Bam says it will be a fight with Steiner math again. He will go 220% as well. So we have 50%, 220%, and another dud of a freaking promo. And then Bam Bam, you're right, he comes out. And quite, I put quite the fire get up, shooting fire out of his arms. And I made the note that if this were 1987, this would be the greatest gimmick of all time. But we're a little 8 years too late. Very cartoony. And you could probably say, you know, if he shot fire, that's cool. But we're way past that era of wrestling, and trying to turn Bam Bam face and trying to get redemption after WrestleMania. This definitely wasn't the way to put it. And his music absolutely sucks. So spot on.
So, as for the match itself, it is very paint-by-numbers. Is this the worst main event in... It's going to be one of the worst main events of the night, as a one. I'm thinking straight away of Undertaker versus Undertaker, but certainly after that, it's got to be up there as like one of the worst main events they've ever done.
I have this down as probably one of the worst main events in history.
Yeah, I think this takes the cake.
I mean, I don't know about you, Logan, but it just felt like just a house show main event.
Tatanka gets way too much offense on Diesel. I mean, Diesel's your champion. He's He's supposed to be a badass, and Tatanka's just like the lowest level heel that you could possibly get. I mean, I know he's in like the top heel faction, but like that's not saying very much at this point. Earl Hebner makes another foible in this match. I think there's a pin attempt, and he should have hit three, but he made the match go on even longer than it should have. So he missed a pin attempt at one point and let the match go longer than it should have. So another mess up by Earl Hebner on that one. Diesel hits an absolutely horrific jackknife towards the end.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And then he goes for the pin on Tatanka, pulls his head up, and then he asks for Sid to come in the ring, and then Sid just walks away just to cement this as awful. And Diesel, I think he hits an elbow and goes for the pin and gets the win. And I've made the note that this is probably the worst main event of all time.
So well, I'll piggyback on that, too. So, you know, first off, when Diesel comes out, the crowd goes crazy for him. So clearly people like him, maybe not as a wrestler, but they think he's just cool shit, right? And then as he's making his entrance, he's flipping his elbow around to sell it like it's fine. But you also know he's doing that to say, hey, guys, I'm going to shit the bed tonight and there's nothing you can do. And he's trying to make that elbow be his excuse. So even in 1995, he was being crafty and setting up his limb work for the match. So, you know, faces clear house. Eventually, he'll go up and it's a lot of plotting. Heel Tatanka dancing around like an idiot. Again, not just the dress, but do heels dance around like a moron? Because Tatanka does. You know, boring limb work with Sid's grunting, hitting the arm more powerful than the actual strikes. I mean, he is just, every time, he's just boring. And Sid's grunting is just off the chain. Diesel did absolutely nothing in this. I think if anybody did anything in this, it was Bam Bam trying to, I thought he did a good cannonball move on a double flip, which Vince called a cannonball maneuver, which would be the third maneuver in this match of the night. Diesel comes in, he looks terrible. And the heels win. Diesel did jack shit in this match. This is your world heavyweight champion, and he just main evented the worst main event possibly in WWF history. And if you didn't hate Diesel after this match, you should. 17 minutes, and I gave this half a star. This is a shit match.
I went one star.
Not even close.
A couple of things you guys haven't mentioned that I got. So, carrying on with the Earl Hebner and the love tonight, the pin attempt after the jackknife, why did he turn into Tommy Young and slide out the ring to do the pin? He's never done that. With Diesel's elbow injury and the storyline they were pushing with Sid, I didn't need a 7 or 8 minute Bigelow to Tanker match in the middle of their show.
Mm-hmm. Probably would have been better than what we got.
that's what it felt like. It felt like you had like this singles match and then like about 10 minutes of a tag match around it. Actually, thinking about it, one star might be too generous. Actually, I don't think there's a mighty amount. I'm gonna drop it while I'm talking. I'm gonna go 0.75. I'm doing it on the fly, Sean. I'm joining.
You're a good man. I did the same earlier, so it's okay.
okay. And that ends this absolute shit show. I know we're trying to be positive. I know we're trying to find the best of things here on this show, but there are very few positives to be had from this, Logan.
Yeah, I agree. And one more note, when you were talking about the Bam Bam Tatanka part, you know, Bam Bam busts his ass for, you know, 7 or 8 minutes wrestling Tatanka, tags in Diesel. Diesel immediately hits the elbow drop on the bad elbow and then immediately tags Bam Bam in. So Bam Bam got like no time to fucking rest. So Diesel's an awful, awful teammate in this. But yeah, this show, as much as lower card guys like Savio and Holly and Rhodey kind of tried to do their best to make this as good as possible, It failed in so many other ways with the Mabels and the main events of the world.
So I know I said at the very top of the show that 95 is going to be a fertile ground for us. But at least with 95 shows, they tend to have that one really good match alongside all the other shit. Sean, this was just pure dreck all the way through, wasn't it?
Yeah, I there's nothing on here that stands out whatsoever. The first four matches gave me a little bit of a hope that, okay, based on the history and your knowledge of this show, and I'd only seen it once in 95 when it came out, that, okay, maybe I'll go into it with an open mind. So I did, and I think that's where the first four matches came out. I was like, oh, they're all over. They're two stars or better for me. But when we got to the last five, it was so bad. It is definitely worse than Bash 91. There was some solid stuff mixed in between. We talked about Mabel's pile driver on Taker, his obliteration of the faces in the final. But again, he's the wrong guy for the role. I thought we had two surprising matches with HBK and Kama and Rhodey and Holly. But even with the five, there's just no way in hell that we could turn this shit show into chicken salad. I think it's impossible. Brett's worst match over a six-year period. And commentary was draining too. Vince and Hayes were very annoying, two peas in a pod. So out of our first two, this one definitely gets the worst for me.
Yeah, I think if we if we keep running total, yeah, this show is definitely worse than the Bash. I think it'll take a long time to find one that's worse than this. Logan, what were your thoughts about any changes that you could have made to make this even slightly better?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could have worked the tournament a little bit differently. I think, like I said earlier, I think you could switch the Kama Sean match and the Taker Mabel match just to kind of give it a chance of maybe seeing Sean and Mabel in the semis or something like that. I mean, you obviously need to change around the superstars. You need to get Owen, Bulldog, Jarrett, Ramon. I mean, if Ramon's hurt, then Ramon can't go, and I obviously get that, but you need to use the bigger crop of your mid-card talent that you have. And you know, Mabel can win. I don't think he should have won, but you know, Mabel can win if you want to build a new monster heel that you want to go against your, you know, face big guy champion. I mean, Mabel, I'm somewhat okay with Mabel winning, but like, making his trip to the finals have a little bit better of a run could have definitely made this better. I'm not going to go through trying to put all the tournament matchups together. I'll let one of y'all do that. But yeah, just getting some of those other mid-carders in there, like the Owens and the Bulldogs of the world, and get like the lower card guys like Rhodey and Holly out of there. I mean, you know, I think you could still stick with Mabel, but there's just like a better and easier, or a better and more productive way to get in there.
Absolutely. Sean, any tweaks that you would make to this?
Well, we could make a lot of tweaks, but you know, before I, you know, obviously you could have done the tournament route, but you know, I kind of want to give more of a take, and I said it many times throughout this podcast. The WWF at this point with this King of the Ring was clearly trying to build new stars. So if you go down the list, no Luger, no Jeff Jarrett, no Owen Hart, no Davey Boy, no Razor, no 1-2-3 Kid, no Backlund. So they clearly had a vision of what they were trying to do here in building new stars and leaving their main people off. But in saying that, you know, they definitely went south. They were trying to make Mabel a top heel. They were attempting to redeem Bam Bam as a top face. They were building Kama as a top heel for Taker. And you know, they were obviously clearly trying to build Savio as a top face as well. And they were also trying to give Rhodey some wrestling under the belt. Now, if you look at this as the ultimate failed experience this time in 95, absolutely none of these guys were ready for it. But if you go into history later on down, Mabel gets a good run as Viscera. Kama gets a great run as Godfather. Savio out of this kind of gets a good run. He has a pretty decent feud with Austin coming up soon. Rhodey, you could talk about. He goes on to do some great things. Luger goes back. I mean, there's just a lot of good in this for future, not for the now. And for the now, this was a huge mistake. So I get what they were trying to do. And we could rebook this every way we want. But if you go into it with the purpose of what they were trying to accomplish in building new stars, that's why they kept people out. And I will tell you, obviously, if they added the new talent in and mixed it with the older talent, it could have been a much better show and a much better tournament. But I think Vince rolled the dice, and that might be one of the reasons why he's hard to sell new stars nowadays, because he looked at this show and said, look, we shit the bed on this one. We can't do that ever again. So that's where I'm at.
We tried it once. We're not doing it again.
Yeah.
Humor me, gentlemen. I did do a bit of fantasy booking, and I did rebook the show slightly. So I have got three non-tournament matches. Brett and Lawler stays the same.
They What's keep the stipulation?
I'm gonna keep kiss my foot for the end of the match.
It's already shit. Move on.
But it's gonna be a steel. It's gonna be a steel cage match.
A steel cage foot match.
Yeah, the foot bit's at the end. So we don't, you know.
That's better. That's better. Yeah. All
right. Right. They keep mentioning during commentary that if it was a singles match that Razor was having, they let him in. It was the fact that he was going to have three matches all the way through.
Correct.
That's why they kept him out. So if that's the case, and if they don't want Double J in the tournament, let's have an Intercontinental title match. This show clocks in at 2 hours and 35 minutes.
Or why even sell the injury? Just have him lose the first match.
Well, yes. Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then for the main event, I'm keeping it as a tag match, but Bam Bam does not get turfed out of the corporation until either this show or the night after. So the main event will be Diesel and Sean versus Sid and Bam Bam in a no DQ match.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been a lot better.
Yeah, much better.
If you're gonna be in Philadelphia, let's do it properly. You know what I mean?
And you know what? If they're gonna sell the feud, you might as well have Kama beat Taker during a tournament.
I've got the tournament. My four matches: Bulldog versus Hikuchi.
Oh, I forgot about Hikuchi.
Owen versus Luger. Karma versus The Undertaker and Mabel versus Savio. I'd still have, like Logan said, I'd still have Mabel win it. Because you've got to try something new sometimes. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But yeah,
and I forgot about Hikuchi. Like, it really is, if you think about it, amazing how much of their main event talent they consider for main events in 95 is not on this show. It's amazing. Yeah.
And I think Bulldog's a much bigger and better name to try and sell Mabel on than Savio is. So, you know, let's sacrifice Savio in the first round.
Well, I think part of the problem is Luger and Davey Boy were in a tag team, but at the same time, Yokozuna's a tag champion is in it, so that shouldn't really make a difference. So,
yeah. That's why I've got no problem putting Owen in, because, you know, you'll get a passable match out of Luger and a great match for Bulldog.
Yeah, and honestly, this could have been one of the greatest King of the Rings of all time, too. This could have been right up there with 93, 94, 95 if they had just done it right and instead of trying to build new stars, which they just weren't really doing. So
there you go. That's my attempt at rebooking. They're not going to use it because it was 25 years ago, but hey-ho. But I came up with that with about 5 minutes thought.
Well, again, anybody could have, but clearly that's not what they wanted to do, but anything would have been better than what we got. So
that's probably what they originally had, but Vince rebooked it 5 seconds before the show.
Or Pritchard said we need new stars.
And we need won. New stars.
Yep. We need new people for Diesel to beat. All right, so I think we've already established the fact that this is going to be chicken shit no matter what. You know, we're not going to be able to make a nice salad out of this, boys, are we?
Not at all.
Nope. This one's a stinker.
But we've still got our awards. We've still done awards because, you know, we're completists around here. So, kicking off with Logan, what is your match of the night?
I went with Holly Roddy.
Sean?
HBK, comma.
I went with Brett Lawler. Don't throw rocks at me.
Oh, you are freaking just ridiculous. At least, you know, I get the Roddy Holly pick, but that pick's just unacceptable.
Yeah, Roddy Holly, considering the competitors, I thought was really solid.
Yeah, Holly and Roddy had the first minute was like Savage Steamboat, so it was good.
That means it was shitty though, right?
Well, no, it was the best part of the Savage Steamboat match, but yeah, I know.
Okay, Sean, what did you consider to be the chicken shit of all the chicken shit?
Oh, God, you know, I hate the main event and I hate the Lawler match so much. Can I pick both of them?
I'm going to force you to pick one.
Oh, they're so bad. I'm going to have to go with the main event over the... I can't believe I'm picking that over Feet, but the main event is just so... main event is just so bad, I can't not pick the main event.
You got a t-shirt with that. The main event, worse than Feet.
Well, if we ever get famous, maybe we could use that as a selling point shirt for us.
Logan, what was your worst match?
Yeah, it's the main event. There's no other way to cut it.
Well, I went Savio Mabel, but I'm quite happy to be outvoted on the main event. So the most surprising match of the night. This is where I went with Road and Holly, because, like you say, for the first couple of minutes, it was pretty damn good. They were young, they were hungry, they were trying, which, you know, they were showing an effort that most of the guys in this show were not. Logan, what was your most surprising match of the night?
I'm going to go with Savio and Yoko. I was kind of dreading that match going into it, but I think they did the best that they could with that match. But yeah, that one kind of surprised me.
Sean?
I went with Roddy Holly.
Okay, so that's two votes for Roddy Holly. Excellent. Okay, Logan, your best performer of the night.
I'm going to go with Savio. I really thought he busted his ass.
Sean?
You know, I could go with Savio, but the last two matches were shit. But I have to go with Shawn Michaels because, you know, he had to wrestle 15 minutes with Kama and try to make him look good for a feud to build to with Undertaker. And I thought he did some overselling, and I thought he made Kama look pretty good and did what his job was for the night. So I'm going with Shawn Michaels.
I cheated a bit. I went with the crowd just for the ECW chant.
You cheater.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's my podcast. It's my rules.
Yeah, you can do whatever, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've gone with an M, an object, and a ref on the Impact Pod so far, so you can do whatever you want.
Okay, Sean, who was your worst performer of the night?
Hands down, Diesel.
Logan?
Tatanka.
I went with Tatanka as well. I can't believe in the year of 1995 he is in a main event. What pictures does he have?
There's
no telling. Okay, Logan, and as always, we are highlighting the fashion of the era. What was your favorite fashion statement of the night?
I'm going to go with Mabel's purple trash bag outfit.
Sean?
I'm going with that to an extent, too, but I'm also putting in the Hardys as well for all three of them raiding Macho Man's old wardrobe and for Mabel sewing three of them together. So I'm going with all of them with their purple Savage outfits.
I've got two. I've got Double J's Quality Street wrapper. It's a very British reference, but it's accurate. And Savio's SV. Whoever told him that was a good idea? I mean, you know, I can't talk much about hair at the moment, but even at, you know, what was he thinking?
He wasn't. That was the problem.
So there you are. That has been King of the Ring 1995. We will be back in a month's time. Logan's got the pick. I know you've got a few options, my friend. Have you got an option? Have you got an answer for us yet, or are you gonna keep it under wraps?
I think I'm gonna keep it under wraps, but we're definitely gonna do a SummerSlam. I'm just not sure which one yet.
Excellent, excellent. I like the sound of that. Have you got anything that you would like to plug while you're here, Logan?
Yeah, I was on Great Debate Wrestling last week. That's dropped at this point. I was on Ruthlessly Aggressive. I think that dropped either yesterday or the day before we're recording this. The newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, which is my first dip into hosting, the second episode of that should drop. Recording this on a Wednesday, it should drop tomorrow on Thursday. The third episode will probably be out by the time this comes out, but at this point the newest one comes out tomorrow, so but other than that, the show and the Impact Zone show, that's all I got on a regular basis.
The turnaround time is going to be a bit quicker, don't worry. Okay, Sean, I know you had a big announcement on the NWA show. For those of you who didn't hear it, would you like to repeat the good news?
Yeah, so I was on the NWA Saturday special with Scott and Dr. G, and I've been going back and forth with Scott, and, you know, I've really gotten into, and one of my favorite moments in wrestling is Crockett era wrestling in the NWA. So I will be starting hosting a pod, and we're actually recording next week, so I'm not real sure when it would air, but I will have Dr. G as a co-host. I will have Colin McDougal, your partner on Special Relations, as a co-host. And we'll have a rotating, and we'll have a rotating guest every week, be it that they know Crockett era NWA or they don't. So our first guest is going to be Jacob Williams. Hopefully he's playing a similar role to what he does on the Impact Pod. That's one of the reasons why I picked him, because I don't know how familiar he is with Crockett. But really what we do is we go to the Crockett era starting in April of 85 when Crockett bought out Georgia Championship Wrestling until he goes to 88 when Turner buys him. And we're going to utilize the Saturday night shows and start with the April 6, 85. And what we do is we take a look at the major promos and we take a look at the main event and we talk about those. And then we'll run down everything else on the show, but we'll really have talking points around the promos and the actual main event match, and we'll walk through that. And we're going to do 3 to 4 episodes of those per show. And I'm hoping that through this, everybody will get to discover the greatness that was Crockett NWA. You know, I don't think Logan was born yet. So Logan, hopefully you'll go back and listen to it. And hopefully you two will be a guest on the show at some point. But yeah, it's a great era of wrestling. It's my favorite era of wrestling, and gives me an opportunity to actually do a show where I don't give shit takes, because it's something I really, truly enjoy. So yeah, so that should debut in a couple weeks. We record that next week, so I'm super, super excited by that show. And in addition, at some point, I'll probably be on the highway to the Impact Zone again when I'm not out vacationing or lunching. So I probably won't be on episode 2 or 3, but hopefully I'll be back on that for episode 4. So those are the two major ones right now, but I'm really looking forward to the NWA pod, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Excellent. So we've got episode 8 of the Special Relations has already dropped. It includes a live watch of Clash of the Champions number 23, which is the one headlined by the Hollywood Blondes versus Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. It's a great show. If you've not watched it for a while, I recommend you put it on. Also on that pod, we talk our mutual hatred of Charlotte Flair for one, and with the news that's come out this week about Miss Flair, you know, it makes the decisions recently even more boneheaded. Sean, you'll really like that episode because, you know, we don't hold back on the girl.
I'm very pleased to hear that.
Because I know Sean's equally as big a fan as we are. Right. And we talk about cinematic wrestling and, you know, maybe it's time to give the concept a rest. Also, this fine podcast you're listening to right now, I have also been a guest on Highway to the Impact Zone. I think I am stepping in for you, Sean, on episode 3. Is that right, Logan?
Yeah, that'll definitely work.
And I don't know when it's going to be coming out because Miranda is handling all that kind of side of things. But my podcast with Miss Miranda Berthold called Telly and TV will be out at some point. Sean, we are going to be doing a deep dive into 24. Which I know will treat you greatly.
Oh, how dare you hide that from me for this long? That's great.
Well, yeah, I wanted to keep some info for you. But yeah, so we did a pilot, what we're calling a pilot episode, like an introductory episode.
Very nice.
And then our second episode will be looking at 24, and we're going to go season by season.
Fantastic.
So for the second episode, it will be the first season of 24, and so on and so forth.
I look forward to that. I love
that show.
Yep.
Good show.
Well, you know, and if it works out, we might have guests, we might not. We haven't decided yet. So yeah. So thank you very much, gentlemen. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Definitely, yeah, it's been
absolutely. I love, you know what, the show might suck, but it was definitely fun to talk about, and I can say that about both shows so far. So good stuff.
He's talking about the wrestling shows, not the podcast, guys. And remember, Nation, in a world where you could be anything you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening to Wrestling's Chicken Salad. We will be back in a month's time with something SummerSlam themed. Until then, I've been Ben Locke from Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you soon. Stay safe.
My girl's like candy, a candy tree. She knocks me high up on my feet.